Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Universal Energy Radio. This is The Lois Effect. My name is Elisa.
My name is Liz. Hello.
Good morning.
Good morning. Ooh.
Oh, I know.
Yes, go ahead.
No, it's interesting because there's not a cue today. So,
what? It's a, because it's a Block Talk thing?
No, I don't know. I hope not. I just think it's interesting.
Oh, meaning there's no one in the queue?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fine. We, we certainly put our time in last show, and it was so interesting because this is such a work in progress. It's evolving, really, every time we do a show. We're just open to whatever is going to come in to sort of inform the conversation. And I find it fascinating. You know, if images are coming in that I know are completely foreign to me,
mm-hmm.
But I feel Lois's presence or encouragement to, even if the caller has no idea, it's really interesting how it, by the end of the conversation, it all kind of lines up.
Right.
And I find that, right, astounding and fascinating. So very interesting because now we have no idea where the show is taking us in terms of what is going to come in when people are coming, calling us with a request for a reading, a message. Be careful if you say, what does spirit have for me? Because that could mean lots of different things. It can come from lots of different sources. So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So, and that's why, especially, although Block Talk can be an unpredictable platform, again, it's one we appreciate because of the live component. But I'm also curious about when we do produce our first offline episode, whenever that happens. I'm guessing probably in the new year we'll change the format a little bit, but still have this blocked time. The schedule, I mm-hmm. believe, will be the same. Very interesting to see where this all kind of evolves. And I think it's very, I think it's amusing where I'm feeling the influences of Lois's energy and wisdom, and how I need to take that step to process that so that it's the pure message. But it's amusing at the same time because it's almost like she and I are having energetic conversations that we would never have in the physical. We'd have nothing to do with each other. I'll tell you that right now. And she's like, yeah, you're right. I'm like, all right, okay, don't judge. Excuse me. But she gets me from the non-physical, so that she kind of digs mm-hmm. me, like, but yeah, but she wouldn't quite, yeah. So I think it's really funny. We became friends after the fact. It's better that way.
Maybe that's why you never came to Atlanta, you know, or we never had that. You know, it didn't happen until
right. And don't you remember
later.
I think the very, very first time I was to go, my flight got canceled.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the very first time that I was supposed to stay at Barbara's house. I think it was my very first trip. That is, this is, I don't know how many years ago. And I'm sure Lois was alive at the time. So long ago. Yeah,
she may have been alive. I just don't know if she was still in Atlanta.
I think she might have been. I don't know if she had. What? When did she pass away again?
It was 3 years ago.
Yeah,
but she was in Florida. She moved to Florida before, when she passed away. She was in Florida.
Linear time and space. But it's interesting because, and tell me if I'm wrong, because you're like the fact checker, thank God. I was supposed to stay at, it's really funny, hosted by a friend / client of yours, mm-hmm. that I was, for whatever reason, I just didn't, I don't know what I was thinking or what issues I had, but it's almost like I think the reason in my mind, but it probably wasn't the actual reason, I think the reason in my mind with this person was that I didn't want to set it up where I was sort of like clairvoyant on call, and this was my fee, and da 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 da.
Right.
Almost like I'm not gonna set it up like this. And it was the reason in my mind, which I don't think is the actual reason, was that no, you're such good friends with Elisa, we'll figure something out. So the figure something out was that I was going to be hosted by her in her beautiful house in Atlanta. And whatever, and it was fine, and it was going to be just a mutual treat for us to spend time with each other. But I think on a deeper level, as energies played out after the fact and energies were revealed, it was that I kind of knew, and this may sound harsh, for whatever reason, I was not to make it so easy for her.
Mm-hmm.
I challenged her, and I think mm-hmm. because she wasn't paying for the service, she was sort of like backed into a corner, because it wasn't like she could say, I want a refund. No, huh, sorry. No, you're not the client. So it's very, because mm-hmm. it wasn't a client thing. It was like, this is what's picking up and whatever. But for whatever reason, I wasn't to take money from her, which is weird because I'm like ready to take money from hello. Yeah, excuse me. It's like I'm not colorblind to the color green. Thank you. Like I don't get it. So I find that fascinating. But I'm saying all of that. So yeah. So that trip didn't happen. And so in hindsight, that's probably a good thing, because then I wasn't in somebody else's space or beholden to anybody or anything else. And then the times that I have gone to Atlanta, I've always stayed in a hotel or whatever. So it's been very easy breezy and very interdependent. My question is, did you meet Barbara through Lois?
Yeah, I didn't meet her like physically with Lois, but Lois had given her my information and said, this is who I use to help me with, you know, like she's my assistant, you know, for a lot of my work stuff. So,
right.
So yeah. So and there was some event that she was doing that Barbara was doing at her house, like a holiday event, and she had hurt her toe. So there was something that, so physically she wasn't able to do a lot of the stuff she had on her list. And I think she may have seen Lois for a little bit of sound healing. I'm not sure. But then I think Lois had mentioned, you know, you could also, to help you with this event, you know, in the days leading up to it or whatever, you should probably call Elisa. And so she did. And that started, like, I worked with her for probably three or four years.
Yeah, easily. Mm-hmm.
You know, just with now and then she found other projects that she needed help with, and I'm like, okay, yeah. So that's how we met. But I have actually never, I don't think they were particularly very close. I think
right.
they were in, you know, we were all in the same community, and she knew of Lois, and, you know, she may have done a healing with her or something like that. But
probably, I would say likely.
But they weren't super close,
there was something, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's not like they were best friends or anything.
Right.
Yeah, very interesting. So, and then, I don't know, and I guess this is all bubbling up to say about the willingness of exchange of information. I guess because of you being the fact checker and being the witness and being the person very close to her and really knowing her teachings, I'm choosing not to go anywhere near her teachings so that I'm just a pure conduit for whatever comes in. But I think the combination of what you and I have laid out here works really well for her, because I think if she appreciates anything about me, she appreciates a lot. She thinks I'm a good time, as most people do. take that any way you want. And no, that's not true. To a point, I'm a good time. Girl, got to draw the line someplace. That I'm so open. And I'm not judging, and I'm just like, okay, doing the best that I can in this time and space to communicate energies that are coming in. But I have noticed in the last couple of show episodes where it really has shifted, especially how I feel in giving out information. It's almost, and it's good actually, it's almost like a part of me has stepped back. And it's good because it's less of a responsibility and more of a receptivity. And with that responsibility can come a little bit of ego, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I just mean it in, like, we're human, we all have one.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it lightens my load a little bit, although there's a lot going on. But it's less contingent upon having a responsibility to it being exclusively my own content. Now it's not my content at all, in a sense. It's just going through me. It's interesting.
Right.
It's I think the lighter the frequency feels, whatever it is, I think it's such a great barometer for everything. And if you think about that, if let's say it's cold outside and you put on a wool sweater, but you didn't put a layer, let's say you didn't put a layer of like a camisole or something, so that it wouldn't feel so scratchy, you want to take off that layer and have a barrier, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing. You could go have some food, and if it feels too rich and too heavy, it's not going to go down so well. So
right.
I feel the lighter that the frequency feels, the more spacious it feels, the more airy it feels, airy yet grounded, that's the right track. So that's how to feel energized yet relaxed. I think that's the ideal state at all times.
Mm.
And how many times do we not feel like that? A lot.
Mm-hmm.
I could be in an argument about school, which is like, or conflict about school, which is all the time. With my 14-year-old, that doesn't feel light and airy. That feels like heavy and annoying,
mm-hmm.
and exhausting. You know, and as long as we all finish strong, I'm happy. That's the goal. I don't care how we get there. Let's just finish strong, people. I don't know how, what, it doesn't matter by any means necessary. Let's just finish strong with everything in this life. But to be so aware of if things feel very heavy and weighted, it's how you carry yourself. If you are dragging your feet and your shoulders are slumped over and you're looking down, that's just a heavy energy.
And that's interesting because I, you know, to talk about that, because definitely like,
yes.
For me, like my posture has never been really good. And, and so I've been trying to pay more attention. I'll catch myself with how I'm sitting usually, cause I'm usually sitting a lot, which is not good. But I'm like, yeah, I'm really like hunched over and there's no reason for it. So then I'll try to straighten up a little bit more and I'll just try to be more aware. So when I'm, for instance, like in the backyard doing my little walking or just usually I'll walk and then I'll take pictures of little animals and, you know, birds and whatever in the backyard.
Uh-huh.
And I'll look at the trees because we have these, you know, these pine trees, and I'll just look up really tall and I'll try to be like that tree, you know, just to stand as tall as possible. It's just a way to remind me that I need to, you know, to be in alignment in every sense of the word.
Yeah.
That means that my posture will be in alignment as well. And, and so to get a physical reminder of that is nice. So, you know, and I was listening to, I think it was a little snippet on, from Abraham Hicks about someone asking about, you know, why do I carry all this weight? And I think that person was in the hot seat for, you know, for Q&A. And
yeah.
Abraham was going back and forth like, well, this woman was like, she was going in, oh, there's a past life and all this other stuff and having to fix stuff from what happened, you know, back in the day. And Abraham just said, well, I think because you put so much attention on that, that's why you continue to carry the weight. Like, why do you feel like you have to carry it
right.
and feel responsible for everybody
right.
else? Because that's what that is,
right.
basically.
Right. That's interesting that resonated with you because...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Stop up. Because... what's coming to my mind is that pattern which you have interrupted and you're in the process of healing and rectifying of, I could do that. Well, I could walk through hot coals and you could throw, you know, grease on me and fried chicken at the same on my back. Well, so what? yeah, I could do lots of things. I could receive torture. Who wants to? So it's almost like, sure, you could do it. You're capable. It's not about that. But it's about choice. Like, maybe I don't want to choose certain things or take it
right.
out. Like, maybe I don't
right.
want to feel the albatross of wishing that my 14-year-old had more executive function in terms of, you know, prioritizing his studies. Although what's interesting, and it's definitely progress, albeit incremental, that we've been doing the high school tour thing, and I think there's more public schools in New York City than any place else in the country, or something crazy like that. Like it's such a maze of a, just a network and a process. And it's interesting because I see that with two of the schools that we've toured so far, he kind of likes them. I don't know if he's going to get to school on time or whatever. But I, and from his online school, I knew it was coming. Got a report that he needs to be more on task. Big shock. I knew it. I was waiting for it. I knew it. And I was just kind of reflecting to myself last night that this and I know I'm hypersensitive and an empath and co-host this podcast. So hello, lots of things going on that difficult to put shut on and shut off, you know. And I just said to myself, I'm going to stop by the office with him probably tomorrow, the office for the Department of Education, and request what's called an IEP. And an IEP stands for an Individualized Education Plan. So that in applying for these schools that are very, I'm so impressed, very college prep centric, although I see him maybe going a different route, but so on point with providing such quality education, but an individualized educational plan or whatever I just said addresses children with learning disabilities or learning difference or what have you. And I'm like, wow, if I take those steps and ask for that evaluation or that status, then it's creating his own lane. And then I don't have to comport myself as a parent that's in the mainstream lane with him, which is why I'm like, you're not on vacation. You just go out. Like, it's... I'm telling you, the first day of school, like real school, high school, September whatever of 2020, you know, bitch might have a day drink. Just saying, it reminds me of when, you know, you have your kids at home and then they finally go to preschool. That's what it's going to feel like. And then the older one, who I adore, and he works and does this, that, and the other, but because he's an aspiring actor, the schedule, like mine, very unpredictable. So there's a lot of time where they're both here during what would typically be off hours for, like, the mom, where she could just have that cup of coffee by herself.
Right.
Not so much the case. Right. Right. So it's just, it's ongoing, no complaining, but it's exhausting. I feel like the mother of young kids because of the output of the cooking and the nurturing, all that. Not complaining, love it, wouldn't have it any other way, but there's a lot of output. So that's why I'm going to have to put some Bailey's in my coffee in a minute. No, I'm just kidding. But all that output, gotta put something in there. So if I create a new lane that's available, like, okay, you want to give him some special status. I don't think he's going to, I don't care. I hope that's an option. So we're going to explore that tomorrow so that maybe I just don't want to keep drinking that Kool-Aid. And I know in my soul that he's finding his way, but he's having a very interesting way of going about finding his way.
Right.
And then once he's 18, find your way, honey. Work that out. Find it. You know? So, all to go back to that feeling of lightness. And I'm very aware of my spine. It's so important. And one of the techniques that I use with my private clients, and that's mostly for clients that come to me for acting coaching or audition coaching, although I did have a very young client to coach her. This is crazy, but they paid me, and I'm like, okay. And it was actually, they were really happy. They felt like it was money well spent. So it was a great outcome and a wonderful experiment. I mean, and they don't, you know, they don't know I co-host this show and Miss Thing is psychic, so I know what to do. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
But I did private coach a 9-year-old for a middle school interview.
Wow.
Three sessions.
Wow.
9 years old. And from the first session where she was this kind of repressed little girl to the third session where she's like, bye, girl. Okay, it was just great. I want to be an actor. Great blossoming. And I just saw her as a person, and I respected her. And you were probably similar to her as a little girl. This girl was such an old soul and such a deep thinker and so intelligent. I was scared. Not afeared. I was scared. My God. And she's like, yeah, my mom thinks I'm doing bad things in the computer, but I'm just trying to teach myself how to code. I'm like, nine. And the adventures and that she writes her own fairy tales. And I'm like, oh, my God, her parents are so like not even really seeing her for who she is. Oh, my God. And she was also adopted, I think, from Honduras, Guatemala. And when I learned that she was adopted, then I have such a kinship to the adoptive parent or the adoptive child as having been an adoptive parent myself. I felt that much closer to her. And, oh, my goodness. And she has she is brilliant. Brilliant. So impressed with her as a child. So her posture, I bring all this up because her posture was, again, very, you know, when she has, I hate to say it, parents who adore her, but kind of like a little bit of helicopter, a little overbearing, not really seeing her and kind of making her wrong for having for being quiet, shy, and reserved. And it's not that she's quiet, shy, and reserved. That's what it looks like to them. But what it is she has such a rich imagination. She doesn't need to be, you know, the life of the party. She's quite, and I'm sure you were like that, quite engaged with what was going on in her mind, which and loved, just the lover of books.
Mm-hmm.
Right? No, she was like little Lisa, like just, but not recognized for that. But they didn't take the time to just look at her, be at her level. And I think one of the questions I asked her was, what book meant the most to you and how did it change your life? Because I did the research, what sort of questions are asked during a middle school interview? But I saved that for the final session. The first two sessions was about her just getting into her body and her connecting to who she is. So I noticed her posture. So one of the things I taught her was that if you look at your and I got this from, I don't remember her name, but a wonderful energy worker that I listened to a few podcasts and studied some videos. I forget her name, but she said, if you imagine your spine as a zipper, from the base of your spine to the base of your cervical spine, which is the base of the skull, which is really, really important to be mindful of that especially. It controls everything that's in between the base of the spine and the cervical spine. But that's really important because of getting airflow to the brain, right?
Mm.
And just to not have that congested. And I would imagine with you, it's probably both the base and the top, but if you had to choose which one was felt like more of a issue, it would probably be the top. The cervical is my guess.
Mm-hmm.
With you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, if you imagine that you're breathing through your spine as if it's a zipper, where you're basically zipping it up, open and close the zipper of your spine three times very fast as you're standing. Open, close, open, close, open, close. It automatically energizes you. So I had her do that in a power pose. So we talked about power poses. So if you were a superhero, how would you stand?
No, wait, I know about power pose. Yeah.
And everybody, and everybody knows about that. That's very common. So
yeah.
I combined that. So I said that to her, right? And I said, okay, get into your power pose. Okay, now zip that spine. And it was incredible. Zip that spine! How she just lit up. So that's a neat combo that I sort of came up with. Power pose, but zip up that spine.
Right.
Yeah, and it's amazing how that opens things up. Yeah, the power pose is great. But when I've been very fatigued, I've done the zipping of the spine while I'm taking deep breaths. And it really helps when I'm really, really tired. And let's say I'm exhausted and I have to teach a two-hour class. And I'm like, how am I going to even – there's not enough coffee to, like, you know, get me together. So I'll go to the restroom and just do that. And it's literally like splashing cold water on your etheric field. But posture is really, really important just to allow for energy flow.
Yeah. I mean, I'm catching myself more and more. But I don't think it's something I really paid attention to. My mother used to point it out to me a lot when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And then and so I'm like, all right, well, whatever. but I'm noticing it now. Usually when I'm sitting, because let's face it, I'm not that tall, so I already know.
No, we're not tall. Right.
We're not
right.
tall. I already know that. So when when I'm sitting, I realize, wow, I'm hunched over, so I'm even shorter.
Right.
And at the table, so at the table, you know, people have different torso lengths, so obviously that's, you know, it's not even about a comparison, but I'm like, yeah, I'm really hunched over here, so let me sit up. And yeah, hearing that, that little video on YouTube about, you know, knowing the changes I've been making and knowing that it had been the thing to just, yeah, I'll just take it on. I'll take on.
Right. Like the woman we're talking about the weight with Esther Hicks?
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, well, and of course then, you know, this morning, because I woke up at 3 you know, had to go pee, came back, went back to sleep, and then felt like I had, like, you know, round 2 of more dreams.
Of course.
So there were more dreams, and this one definitely had, you know, extended family in it, and again, a little bit of frustration of, you know, me having to figure something out, you know.
The burden being put on you.
Yeah, and at some point, like, I put everything down. I think I was trying to figure out, like, a password. I had to sign into something on the computer screen I want to say it was, like, our hotel. Or it was something bizarre.
Right. Yeah, put on you.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I doing this?
Right.
Why am I having to figure this stuff out? Like, this isn't even for me. It's not even for my room. You know,
I find that fascinating, but it goes into what I was saying before about why am I dealing with typical parent issues when I'm not dealing with a typical kid? So let me find let's see if I can create a lane. So that's what I think we're doing. It's like creating an additional lane or a lane of protect something. So, and maybe that's what you're doing for yourself. You're carving a lane, or these things are coming up because you are going on a trip next month, and for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And sure, you know what your role is, and you're happy to to do it, but you also know that there's the, that there's a cap to it, that there's a spaciousness, so that will neutralize any potential resentment. And let me ask you this, because it's probably being influenced by the dream, I mean by the video in your dream, knowing what's coming up, you've broken that pattern or you've interrupted the pattern of, I could do it, I could do it, I could do it, I could do it, let me see how many different ways I could do it and how many different versions I could do it and how many different ways I could think about it and in how many languages. Like, no, we're not doing that anymore. I'll even come out with the Braille version because I'm not good. we're not doing that. But in the past, where, of course, you knew part of you going on this trip was that you were going to absorb, kind of be like the project manager, absorb some of the logistics for your parents so that they don't have that burden and you're able to, you just have the logistics and the skill set to do it. But in previous trips, and let's say, let's just even go with just the most recent, was there a degree of any sort of resentment that might have taken you by surprise?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I mean, and it was something small, and I know I talked about it at some point. But
just
putting, like, doing laundry on the ship. Like, you know, you have to put everything in a bag, and you have to fill out the little paperwork, like, check off
right
what
right.
item it is. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll do my stuff because this is what I'm putting in the bag. It gets picked up every day. And I figure, you know, each person can take care of whatever they want to put in.
Sounds like my house.
And you just check it off the list, right?
Right, right.
And so, like, you know, and then my mom has her own really, you know, crazy way of trying to figure stuff out. And she has
right.
to hover over the list for a little bit. Meanwhile, Dad is, you know, he sort of like waits until he sees me near that area. He's like, oh, could you also, can you put this, put that on, he'll like stand up and do stuff. And he wants me to list it. And I'm like, no. I said, no. I said, I don't really want to do that. Because
right.
These are your clothes. Like, I'm not touching your clothes. Like, it's such a small space. Like, just here's the sheet. Here's a pen. Here's the bag. It's not that far. Just mark it. Just put it. He's like, well, what is this? I'm like, I don't know what it is. It's your stuff. He wants me to figure out. I'm like, I said, it doesn't really matter. I think in the end, they have to tag everything anyway. But
right, of course. It's like summer camp. They tag everything. Right.
It's like, yeah, what would you call this? I'm like, I don't know, Dad. Just pick something and put it in there. And
right.
And there's a part of me that was like, was pushing back. Like, I'm not doing the laundry part for this. Like, we're not even doing laundry. It's just putting the stuff in the bag.
Right. It's not like you're going to the river and you're beating, you know, their laundry against
right.
the river, you know, stones.
So I was like, all right, well, but I don't understand. And then there's a part of me that thinks, well, maybe it's because he can't see that well.
Mm.
But he seems to be sitting in front of the computer just fine. So it can't be that. You know, I'm like, he didn't want to do it, and I certainly didn't want to do it either. So I'm like, no. So I went over. I'm like, here's the paperwork. Here's a little, you know, just put it in there, and that's fine.
And did your parents do it then?
I think he did. I think he was just trying to see what he could get away with. You know, like we all do kind of do that. But there's a part of me that was like, what is this? Like, why would you do that now? Of all times to do it, like, why this now? You know, so it, for me, it ties into, man, he really is getting old.
Well, did it tie?
You know?
Well, that's what I was going to say. Exactly. So did it maybe unconsciously or push a button like, no, 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 we're not dealing with your don't put yourself into that you can't even function old man box because
right.
that's not it.
Right.
And I listen, I totally get it. There was more than a few occasions when I was still married that I used to say to my ex-husband, I am not married to an old man. Because
right.
I saw glimpses and it scared the hell out of me. I saw glimpses, and I'm like, oh, God, no. No. So it's, I kind of get it. It would be no different than if your children weren't evolving and being more independent and all of that.
Right.
Mom, could you put butter on that? No, you can't. Hello, excuse me.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Right.
So it's almost like you are capable. It's not like somebody else's child who's weak from chemo that they can't pick up the butter knife. Let's not go there. So I think it's a complex resentment. So, and it's a little tough love. It's like, no. Like, I'll get, like, the logistics, and I'll hold all the passports and do this, that, and the other, whatever it is that I'll, you know, figure out the, whatever it is that you're doing that they don't want to be bothered with, sure. But it's not like you're feeding him porridge because he can't get out of the bed. So
right.
I get that. I get that. And the thing is, we have been so spoiled by our parents in terms of their scrappiness that I am so spoiled that my mother is still to this day so independent and so speaking of her own mind and so with it that I would lose my mind if all of a sudden it turned into a 180. That terrifies me.
Yeah,
it terrifies me with me. In terms of
I mean, sure. I think once we realize like where we're at with our limitations, you know, physically sometimes you can't do stuff you used to be able to do.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's almost like, you know, it's a bit of a wake up call. But then, I mean, and I was thinking about that too. But like my dad did a lot of stuff, and this was just the feeling I got was like he didn't want to be bothered with the laundry, but he needed to get some clean clothes. I'm like, you still have to do this one little bit, Dad, and then we could go like, you know, walk around the ship or do whatever. But I'm not sorting through your laundry. I'm just not gonna do it.
Right.
Yeah, but there's a part of me that's like. It's a catch 22 because I think there are plenty of people who really struggle with asking for help, and for things like that where it's, you know, whether it's like I can't even get over the fact that I can't see or whatever it is, I don't know. For that I really don't think it was that. I think it may have been a little bit of that, but he's, like I said, he's been able to. He's on the computer a lot. He does a lot of stuff. So
well, he's able to read a menu at a restaurant, right?
Oh, right.
Same difference.
So,
all
right.
Don't you think?
So it's just to me. Yeah. He doesn't like hand me the menu. So what should I order? You know.
Same difference.
Able to look over.
Same difference. Yeah. It wasn't that interesting.
So,
it wasn't that interesting a task. You know.
He
just
didn't want to do it.
He doesn't want to do it, and that's fine. And I think it was a little, you know, roundabout OT. Like, no, it's occupational therapy. Like, it's let's work that part of the brain, even though you don't want to do it. But I kind of get that from the flip side, like with my kids. I'm like, you gotta take out the garbage. And you gotta take it out now.
Right.
No.
Right.
Yeah. So because there's always going to be that one person that's sort of like the go-to. So in my household, I'm the go-to.
Yeah.
In you traveling with your parents, you're the go-to.
Yeah.
However, I think that was more not so much resentment, but more. I think it's actually empowering. Not so much resentment, but more acknowledging. Like, no, you're not there yet.
Right.
you're not there yet, so let's not. And I used to lose my mind with my ex-husband, where I saw fast forward 20 years from now, and I'm like, no, because I'm sorry, this bitch is going to still try to keep it cute in 20 years. I don't know how successful I'm going to be, but I still got a lot of energy and a lot of fire in me. So, like, no, don't even be playing with that. Don't even be playing with that. And it's interesting because in having profound conversations with people from many different walks of life and many different stages of life, what I came to understand, and I don't want to say that it's typical of a lot of men and maybe generally in a lot of straight men, and I'm being very, very generic and I'm generalizing. But what I discovered in having multiple conversations that kind of came up with the same conclusion is that sometimes past the midlife crisis point, okay, so let's say that's mid-late 40s or whatever, maybe someone's going to have the affair, they're going to get the car, they're going to get a toupee, whatever it is, okay, that, then past that, then it's like this another fork in the road. And that fork in the road is, do I find a way to reinvent myself as I evolve into Act 3 of life, how I evolve and find, again, my grace in my lane. So that's the theme of today's show, finding one's lane or creating a lane so that you're not working, you're not making yourself crazy because your kid's not in the lane that everybody thinks it's your kid's supposed to be in, right?
Right.
Finding a lane. Maybe your next girlfriend's going to be a lane. But that would be funny. Anyway, that would be funny. Or post-midlife crisis and figuring out Act 3, or you check out. And that is very common. And when I had a post-divorce conversation, there was some sort of crisis with my younger son a while ago. They've been frequent, but let's say when it was really bad a while ago, and something came up about the marriage, of course, and I guess I was owning, like, I take full responsibility. This is my decision. I have to live with it. Whatever it was, like, I wasn't blaming anything on anybody because at that point, what's the point? It's exhausting. So let me just own it. Let me just eat it, own it, get on with it. And I said, you checked out and I shut down. That's what happened. So we don't want anybody to check out. Your father has not checked out, okay? Your father is an adventurer. Your father is a lover of life and laughter. So in something of such small consequence, like filling out a laundry sheet, okay, some people would look at that at face value and say, Elisa, that's your parents. Help your parents. What's wrong with you? You would probably get criticized for that. But if you really see what that's about, you're like, no, I'm not going to make it so easy for you to check out. Now, I'll figure out the excursions and figure out the logistics and get the best deal for us and all of that because that's what you want me to do and I'm happy to do that. But you could fill out your laundry sheet because I refuse to be a party to you checking out.
Right.
I get it.
Yeah.
So it's not so much resentment, but more you're not going to be a party to that. You're not going to drink that Kool-Aid.
Yeah. I'm surrounded by that already, you know, on some level.
I
didn't know what it was in the beginning.
Right.
I didn't know what it was.
Right.
but with my father, because he does little things now. He's been doing it, you know, for a while, where part of it is, you know, some of it's a little bit of his sense of humor. He's sort of joking.
Yes, he likes to joke. Yeah.
But I'm paying attention to it because I'm like, you know, Dad, because my brother does the same thing. My brother is much more sarcastic. My dad isn't. It isn't sarcasm. It's just he has that little sense of humor. He's not trying to be sarcastic.
Yes, he's silly.
But it's along that same spectrum, depending on, you know, on the whole situation.
Right.
But his standard thing has been, when I call, I say, "Hey, how are you?" He's like, "Well, I'm still here." You know.
I hate that. Yeah. I get it. It's like, "Oh, that's funny." right. Or my mother will say, "Enough already!" Like, you know, like she's ready to go, and I'm like, "Ma." Like, I get it. Like, and sometimes I feel like that. Like, okay, just take me.
Right.
Ma.
Right.
But no. I said, guess what? You have two grandchildren. You would really mess them up. Ha, 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 ha. You can go anywhere. Ha, ha, ha. So I throw that because I have the only kids, only grandchildren. Ha, ha, ha. I said, you really want to do that to them? Ha, 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 ha. Sucker. So we'll joke about
right.
it. But, yeah, it's
right.
like I'm still here. Like, I get that, you know, 80-year-old realness. I get that.
Right.
However, yeah, I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
but you don't want to encourage that or think like, okay, guess what? We're gonna engage that brain. Like,
yeah,
you're still here, but somebody on life support is still here. Like, don't do that.
right.
Exactly.
Right. So
yeah.
And it is different when we're on our trips usually, because you're right. He is an adventurer. And we're all engaged. Like, we're all like, well, okay,
well,
you know, what's going to happen here? I mean, and
right.
we all deal with it in different ways. You know, obviously we have some ups and downs on the trip, but
of course.
But it is something we all look forward to. And
right.
so there is that hope and that excitement and wonderment, you know, of like, I don't know what this country is going to be like because I've never been. And so that is good. So it was interesting for him to do that, to kind of pull that, you know, oh, you know, can you just do that? I'm like, no. No,
yeah,
I'm not
doing
your
great.
Laundry.
That's great. And you know what? And you can get it right back from your parents. You know, like I've said things to my mom, like, so what would you think you'd like that? No. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
They
yeah.
do the same thing, because that's like an old
exactly.
that's like an old people thing. Like, they feel like they have a free pass. It's like, no, I don't like that. I'm like, oh, okay, well, glad you sugarcoated that for me. Thanks so much.
Right.
Like, they can't be bothered. I think it's great. They can't be bothered. So wasn't that great? No, not really. Oh, did you like that movie?
Oops.
No, I didn't. Oh, okay. How's the food? Do you like the food? No, not especially. Well, okay. Do you like the restaurant I picked up? How about that book I gave you for Christmas? Yeah, no, it wasn't for me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
Well, here's that part of that whole process for me, because, you know, I tend to, if I think I can make somebody happy, I'll be like, oh, well, I think this person likes this.
Right.
Or try to create experience, and then, you know, and then with someone like my mom, who's a tough customer anyway, it's like, well, you know, these were some fantastic ideas for me. I run them past her, and it's like, no, not really. I'm like, okay, so I have to switch gears and be like, well, to get upset about it, because there's always a risk that someone is not going to be into what you think is going to be fun. So I'm like, okay, then that's fine. So like, those are things that I've had to come and do over the years, like wanting to be the good daughter, like, oh, let me help you in the kitchen, even though you never wanted me in the kitchen and you never wanted any help. Let me offer. And I would do it a few times for the holidays. And then, you know, after a while, it's like, I offer once. And if she still says no, then no guilt on my part. Like, I did my part.
Nope.
I put it out there.
Yep.
And she knows I'm here. She always chooses not to use my help. So I don't help. And I don't have any problems, you know. And when she's complaining about it, I'm like, I said, you know, I'll just say, okay, well, that was, you're so tired. Oh, really? I wonder why. Because you didn't ask for any help. And you wouldn't take any help. So I don't feel sorry for you
nope.
in that regard. I feel sorry that you can't you know, right. I allow for people to help. But
right.
This is how it just plays out. And I'm like, okay. So
right.
I go to sleep and I'm like, I'm going to rest. And then, you know, like I usually, I do try to offer. And then when she says no, I said, well, then no, it means no. And until she figures out that she doesn't have to, you know, slog through the holidays alone with all the,
right.
all the burden, then,
right.
then we'll just carry on the way we always do. Because I think
right.
my dad has done the same thing. I think he's offered to help. And it's not the type of help that she can, I guess, that she sees any value in. Like, he always does something wrong. Like, well, you know, he may not do it the same way you do it, but is it getting done? And so whatever
right.
level that she feels comfortable with, but obviously it's like no one can do it right, so she'll just do it. I'm like, all right. Well.
Yeah, and it's a mixed bag of
yeah.
And I can relate to that, and certainly that's a pattern that thank God I've interrupted in my own life, where
mm-hmm.
It's a value thing and it's a control thing. But it's
yeah.
it's more of it's more a self-worth thing than anything else. It presents itself as the total opposite, but that's
right.
really what it is. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's self-esteem in sheep's clothing. Like it's yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's a value, self-worth. So that's a tough one.
Yeah, and what I find interesting. And this is sort of lightened up a little bit over the years because
of
you know
course.
One they're not hosting a ton of people anymore, like it's definitely gotten smaller
right
you know and if they choose to come to Atlanta to do the holidays, they're certainly not having to crank out any food, you know, they don't need to
right
plenty of people plenty
hello
of, they didn't really need to do at home either. They could just do the one dish and everyone else will bring one and that's fine, but
right.
for whatever reason each sister does like four dishes, you know,
right.
and there's, you know, there's only like, you know, five people coming to dinner, so whatever. But I've just had to allow for that and to see, because it is, I, you know, feel with mom it's a control thing. And you're right with self-esteem. So much of it is tied into perceptions of what other people think. That's a lot on that side of the family.
Right, right. And as a child, there was just no acknowledgement of
right
that you
right.
you have that you have value just by being who you are. It's always like you're
right.
not measuring up. You know, it reminds me of that scene from that movie, The Help, which was I have mixed feelings about that movie, where Viola Davis is the maid and she's telling the little girl, you is special, you is this, you is
mm-hmm.
smart, you is all of that. But if you don't get, like, I didn't get that growing up. I don't know how much of that you got growing up. I being first generation, we know our parents probably didn't get much of that growing up. Maybe your father because he's male, but especially as a female from another country, and not a European country, right?
Right.
So even less so. there's no core nurturing, and if you know you weren't wanted as a child, my mother was the product of an affair, right?
Right.
And her story is crazy. I also know I could not have possibly been wanted when she found out she was pregnant, because it was less than 6 weeks after she had my sister. Nobody wants to be pregnant.
Ouch.
Yeah. So I could only imagine, and back then in the 60s, you probably go to the doctor to find out, you know, that you were pregnant. So I'm sure she was hoping it was like, you know, indigestion, and she's taking
right.
care of an infant who's mere not even 2 months old. She gonna find out she's pregnant again?
Hmm.
Ooh, what shall I name her? No. It's like, well, I'm Catholic.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm gonna have to have this baby, but damn. Nothing I could. I'm trapped. Forget it. And she had a 4-year-old. So this is child number 3. And she must have been 25 years old when she found out.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
That explains a lot, doesn't it? So,
yeah.
Right. So when you think about that with where our mothers came from, they're not hardwired for that. So there goes the epigenetics. There goes taking the hit for the team. And good for you that you have all this clarity. You're going to have such a great trip. I already knew that from day one. But and especially now in having this conversation, just reading the energy of it, like, yay, what fabulous things to look forward to. And this show felt like it was only 10 minutes long. What a wonderful, interesting conversation. Yeah, girl, it was good. Hello. All right, so that was very, very interesting. I got a lot out of talking to you about that. So if you guys need to get a hold of us, please email loablend@gmail.com. We are scheduled to be back on the air this coming Tuesday at 8:30 a.m. United States Eastern Time. And as always, love yourself fiercely, let the light do the work, and to brighter days ahead. Love you. Have a good one.
Love you.
Bye.